Chapter 43. Differential Rent 2. Third Case. Rising Price of Production. The editor, Engels, tells us that in Marx's original manuscript, the first part of this chapter existed only as a title plus tables, and that these examples are unhelpful to the understanding. Engels has therefore added his own text and a new set of tables. Consequently, the first part of this chapter, including Marx's tables 7 to 10a, has been consigned to the PDF under the heading Chapter 43. Engels continues, "The original tables had to be offered to illustrate the text, but in order to obtain a perceptual basis for the following results of the investigation, I present a new series of tables in which the yields are indicated in bushels, 1/8 of a quarter, or 36.35 litres, and shillings equals marks. These tables are held on the accompanying PDF, together with Engels' explanatory text. The first of the tables, Table 11, corresponds to the former Chapter 41, Table 1. It shows the yields and rents for soils of five different qualities, A to E, with a first capital investment of 50 shillings, which, added to 10 shillings profit, equals 60 shillings total price of production per acre. The yields in grain are made low, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 bushels per acre. The resulting regulating price of production is 6 shillings per bushel. The subsequent 13 tables correspond to the three cases of differential rent 2 treated in this and the two preceding chapters, with an additional invested capital of 50 shillings per acre in the same soil with constant falling and rising prices of production. Each of these cases, in turn, is presented as it takes shape for one constant, two falling, and three rising productivity of the second investment of capital in relation to the first. This yields variants within each case, which are illustrated in the tables 11 to 24. It can be seen that in the great majority of all possible cases, the rent rises per acre of rent-bearing land, as well as particularly in its total amount, as a result of an increased investment of capital in the land. Only in 3 out of the 13 analysed cases does its total remain unaltered. These are the cases in which the lowest quality soil, hitherto the regulator and rentless, is eliminated from competition and the next quality soil takes its place, that is, becomes rentless. But even in these cases, the rents upon the superior soils rise in comparison with the rents due to the first capital investment. When the rent for C falls from 24 to 20, then those for D and E rise from 36 and 48 to 40 and 60 shillings, respectively. A fall in the total rents below the level for the first investment of capital, Table 11, would be possible only if soil B as well as soil A were to be excluded from competition and soil C were to become regulating and rentless. Thus, the more capital is invested in the land, and the higher the development of agriculture and civilization in general in a given country, the more rents rise per acre as well as in total amount, and the more immense becomes the tribute paid by society to the big landowners in the form of surplus profits, so long as the various soils, once taken under cultivation, are all able to continue competing. This law accounts for the amazing vitality of the class of big landlords. No social class lives so sumptuously No other class claims the right it does to traditional luxury in keeping with its estate, regardless of where the money for this purpose may be derived. And no other class piles debt upon debt so light-heartedly. And yet, it always lands again on its feet, thanks to the capital invested by other people in the land, which yields it a rent, completely out of proportion to the profits reaped therefrom by the capitalist. However, the same law also explains why the vitality of the big landlord is gradually being exhausted. When the English corn duties were abolished in 1846, the English manufacturers believed that they had thereby turned the landowning aristocracy into paupers. Instead, they became richer than ever. How did this occur? Very simply. In the first place, the farmers were now compelled, by contract, to invest £12 per acre annually instead of £8. And secondly, the landlords, being strongly represented in the lower house, too, granted themselves a large government subsidy for drainage projects and other permanent improvements on their land. Since no total displacement of the poorest soil took place, but rather, at worst, it became employed for other purposes, and mostly only temporarily, rents rose in proportion to the increased investment of capital, and the landed aristocracy consequently was better off than ever before. But everything is transitory. Transoceanic steamships and the railways of North and South America and India enabled some very singular tracts of land to compete in European grain markets. These were, on the one hand, the North American prairies and the Argentine pampas, plains cleared for the plough by nature itself, and virgin soil, which offered rich harvests for years to come, even with primitive cultivation and without fertilizers. And, on the other hand, there were the landholdings of Russian and Indian communist communities, which had to sell a portion of their produce, and a constantly increasing one at that, for the purpose of obtaining money for taxes wrung from them, frequently, by means of torture, by a ruthless and despotic state. These products were sold without regard to price of production. They were sold at the price which the dealer offered, because the peasant, perforce, needed money without fail, when taxes became due. And in the face of this competition, coming from virgin plains, as well as from Russian and Indian peasants ground down by taxation, the European tenant farmer and peasant could not prevail at the old rents. A portion of the land in Europe fell decisively out of competition as regards grain cultivation, and rents fell everywhere. A second case, variant 2, falling prices and falling productivity of the additional investment of capital, became the rule for Europe, and therefore the lament of landlords from Scotland to Italy and from southern France to East Prussia. Fortunately, the plains are far from being entirely brought under cultivation. There are enough left to ruin all the big landlords of Europe, and the small ones into the bargain. Friedrich Engels. The headings under which rent should be analysed are: A. Differential rent. 1. Conception of differential rent. Water power as an illustration. Transition to agricultural rent proper. 2. Differential rent 1, arising from the varying fertility of various plots of land. 3. Differential rent 2, arising from successive investments of capital in the same land. Differential rent 2 should be analysed. 3A, with a stationary price of production. 3B, falling price of production. 3C, and rising price of production. 3D, also the transformation of surplus profit into rent. 4. Influence of this rent upon the rate of profit. B. Absolute rent. C. The price of land. D. Final remarks concerning ground rent. Overall conclusions to be drawn from the consideration of differential rent in general are the following. First, the formation of surplus profit may take place in various ways. On the one hand, based on differential rent 1, that is, on the investment of the entire agricultural capital in land consisting of soils of varying fertility, or in the form of differential rent 2, based on the varying differential productivity of successive investments of capital in the same land, that is, a greater productivity, expressed, for example, in quarters of wheat, than is secured with the same investment of capital in the worst land, rentless, but which regulates the price of production. But no matter how this surplus profit may arise, its transformation into rent, that is, its transfer from farmer to landlord, always presupposes that the various actual individual production prices of the partial outputs of the individual successive investments of capital, that is, independent of the general price of production by which the market is regulated, have previously been reduced to an individual average price of production. The excess of the general regulating production price of the output per acre over this individual average production price constitutes and is a measure of the rent per acre. In the case of differential rent 1, the differential results are in themselves distinguishable because they take place upon different portions of land, distinct from one another, and existing side by side, given an investment of capital per acre and a degree of cultivation considered normal. In the case of differential rent 2, they must first be made distinguishable. They must, in fact, be transformed back into differential rent 1, and this can only take place in the indicated way. For an example, please refer to Table 3 from Chapter 41 on the PDF, with accompanying text on page 33 of the PDF. Secondly, assuming a decreasing rate of productivity for the additional investments of capital whose limit, so far as the new formation of surplus profit is concerned, is that investment of capital which just covers the price of production, that is, which produces a quarter as dearly as the same investment of capital in an acre of soil A, namely at £3, according to our assumption. It follows from what has just been said that the limit, where the total investment of capital in an acre of B would no longer yield any rent, is reached when the individual average production price of output per acre of B would rise to the price of production per acre of A. If only investments of capital are made in B that yield the price of production, that is, yield no surplus profit nor new rent, then this indeed raises the individual average price of production per quarter, but does not affect the surplus profit and eventually the rent formed by previous investments of capital. This is because the average price of production always remains below that of A, and when the price excess per quarter decreases, the number of quarters increases proportionately, so that the total excess in price remains unaltered. In the case assumed, the first two investments of capital in B amounting to £5 yield 3.5 quarters. Thus, according to our assumption, 1.5 quarters of rent equals £4.5. Now, if a third investment of £2.5 is made, but one which yields only one additional quarter, then the total price of production, including 20% profit of the 4.5 quarters, equals £9. Thus, the average price per quarter equals £2. The average price of production per quarter upon B has thus risen from £1.57 to £2, and the surplus profit per quarter, compared with the regulating price of A, has fallen from £1.27 to £1. But £1 times 4.5 equals £4.5, just as formerly 1.27 pounds times 3.5 equals £4.5. Let us assume that a fourth and fifth additional investment of capital amounting to £2.5 each are made in B, which do no more than produce a quarter at its general price of production. The total product per acre would then be 6.5 quarters, and their price of production £15. The average price of production per quarter for B would have risen again from £2 to 2.4 pounds, and the surplus profit per quarter, compared with the regulating price of production of A, would have dropped again from £1 to 9/13 of a pound. But these 9/13 of a pound would now have to be calculated upon the basis of 6.5 quarters instead of 4.5 quarters. And 9/13 times 6.5 equals 1 times 4.5 equals 4.5. It follows from this, firstly, that no increase in the regulating price of production is necessary under these circumstances in order to make possible additional investments of capital in the rent-bearing soil, even to the point where the additional capital completely ceases to produce surplus profit and continues to yield only the average profit. It follows furthermore that the total surplus profit per acre remains the same here, no matter how much surplus profit per quarter may decrease. This decrease is always balanced by a corresponding increase in the number of quarters produced per acre. In order that the average price of production might reach the level of the general price of production, hence £3 for soil B, it is necessary that supplementary investments be made whose output has a higher price of production than the regulating one of £3. But we shall see, in the example included on the PDF under the heading Chapter 43, Supplementary Investments, that this alone does not suffice, without further ado, to raise the average price of production per quarter of B to the general price of production of £3. The following conclusions can be drawn from the examples given under Chapter 43, Supplementary Investments, on the PDF. First, so long as the additional capitals are invested in the same land with surplus productivity, even if the surplus productivity is decreasing, the absolute rent per acre in grain and money increases, although it decreases relatively in proportion to the advanced capital. In other words, the rate of surplus profit or rent. The limit is established here by that additional capital which yields only the average profit, or for whose produce the individual price of production coincides with the general price of production. The price of production remains the same under these circumstances, unless the production from the poorer soils becomes superfluous as a result of increased supply. Even when the price is falling, these additional capitals may, within certain limits, still produce surplus profit, though less of it. Secondly, the investment of additional capital yielding only the average profit, whose surplus productivity therefore equals zero, does not alter in any way the amount of the existing surplus profit, and consequently of rent. The individual average price per quarter increases thereby upon the superior soils. The excess per quarter decreases, but the number of quarters which contain this decreased excess increases, so that the mathematical product remains the same. Thirdly, additional investments of capital, the produce of which has an individual price of production exceeding the regulating price, the surplus productivity is therefore not merely equal to zero, but less than zero, or a negative quantity, that is, less than the productivity of an equal investment of capital in the regulating soil A, bring the individual average price of production of the total output from the superior soil closer and closer to the general price of production. That is, reduce more and more the difference between them, which constitutes the surplus profit or rent. An increasingly greater part of what constituted surplus profit or rent enters into the formation of the average profit. But nevertheless, the total capital invested in an acre of B continues to yield surplus profit, although the latter decreases as the amount of capital with underproductiveness increases, and to the extent of this underproductiveness. The rent, with increasing capital and increasing production, in this case decreases absolutely per acre, not merely relatively with reference to the increasing magnitude of the invested capital, as in the second case. The rent can be eliminated only when the individual average price of production of the total output from the better soil B coincides with the regulating price, so that the entire surplus profit from the first more productive investments of capital is consumed in the formation of average profit. The minimum limit of the drop in rent per acre is that point at which it disappears. But this point does not occur as soon as the additional investments of capital are underproductive, but rather as soon as the additional investment of underproductive capital becomes so large in magnitude that its effect is to cancel the overproductiveness of the first investments of capital, so that the productiveness of the total invested capital becomes the same as that of the capital invested in A, and the individual average price per quarter of B becomes therefore the same as that per quarter of A. In this case too, the regulating price of production, £3 per quarter, would remain the same, although the rent had disappeared. Only beyond this point would the price of production have to rise in consequence of an increase either in the extent of underproductiveness of the additional capital or in the magnitude of the additional capital of equal underproductiveness. For instance, if in the supplementary investment table 2.5 quarters were produced instead of 1.5 quarters upon the same soil at £4 per quarter, we would have had a total of 7 quarters for £22 price of production. A quarter would have cost £3.75, and it would thus be 0.75 above the general price of production, and the latter would therefore have to rise. For a long time, then, additional capital with underproductiveness, or even increasing underproductiveness, might be invested until the individual average price per quarter from the best soils became equal to the general price of production. That is, until the excess of the latter over the former, and thereby the surplus profit and the rent, entirely disappeared. And even then, The disappearance of rent from the better soils would only signify that the individual average price of their produce coincides with the general price of production, so that an increase in the latter would not yet be required. In the foregoing example, upon better soil B, which is, however, the lowest in the sequence of better or rent-bearing soils, 3.5 quarters were produced by a capital of £5 with surplus productiveness, and 2.5 quarters by a capital of £10 with under-productiveness, that is, a total of 6 quarters. 5/12 of this total is thus produced by the latter portions of capital, with under-productiveness. And it is only at this point that the individual average price of production of the 6 quarters rises to £3 per quarter, and thus coincides with the general price of production. Under the law of landed property, however, the latter 2.5 quarters could not have been produced in this way at £3 per quarter, except when they could be produced upon 2.5 new acres of soil A. The case in which the additional capital produces only at the general price of production would have constituted the limit. Beyond this point, the additional investment of capital in the same land would have had to cease. Indeed, if the farmer once pays £4.5 rent for the first 2 investments of capital, he must continue to pay it, and every investment of capital which produced a quarter for more than £3 would result in a deduction from his profit. The equalization of the individual average price, in the case of underproductiveness, is thereby prevented. Although differential rent is but a formal transformation of surplus profit into rent, and property in land merely enables the owner in this case to transfer the surplus profit of the farmer to himself, we find, nevertheless, that successive investment of capital in the same land, or what amounts to the same thing, the increase in capital invested in the same land, reaches its limit far more rapidly when the rate of productiveness of the capital decreases and the regulating price remains the same. In fact, a more or less artificial barrier is reached as a consequence of the mere formal transformation of surplus profit into ground rent, which is the result of landed property. The rise in the general price of production, which becomes necessary here within more narrow limits than otherwise, is in this case not merely the cause of the increase in differential rent, but the existence of differential rent, as rent, is at the same time the reason for the earlier and more rapid rise in the general price of production, in order to ensure thereby the increased supply of produce that has become necessary. The following should furthermore be noted. By an additional investment of capital in soil B, the regulating price could not, as discussed, rise to £4 if soil A were to supply the additional produce below £4 by a second investment of capital, or if new and worse soil than A, whose price of production were indeed higher than £3 but lower than £4, were to enter into competition. We see, then, that the differential rent 1 and differential rent 2, while the first is the basis of the second, serve simultaneously as limits for one another, whereby now a successive investment of capital in the same land, now an investment of capital side by side in new additional land, is made. In like manner, they limit each other in other cases, for instance, when better soil is taken up.